What is the city going to do with the with this potential increase in revenue, which is that $5 million? What will the final cost be to the taxpayers if we continue to use bond premium?
Councilman Lattiser, I'm not trying to, nothing's wrong with what you're saying, but there's a problem with the audio, and I know you specifically stated you want it to be on record.
I do.
Are we good now, or no?
My timer is still running, so are we good or are we not?
Oh, yeah. Sounds great to me.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to, but
okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
The taxpayers need to know exactly what's going on and before it happens. So what is the long-term plan? Is there one, or do we intend to fly by the seat of our pants? Do we continue to rob Peter to pay Paul and hope that everything fixes itself? Or are we willing to take on the tough fights, make the unpopular decisions, and stop the financial hemorrhaging of taxpayer dollars? Before you can fix a problem, you first need to recognize you have one. The school department has recognized they have one. Now it's the city's turn. The problem, as I see it, is out of control spending, not revenue. The $5 million we're talking about can be found by cutting approximately $1.3 million from our current $380 million budget. And here are my suggestions. And I put emphasis on suggestions. One, start by reorganizing OPEB to something that has an attainable and a sustainable funding source. Let's not lock into a $5 million per year idea for 4 years without knowing how and if we're going to pay for it. Two, buy only equipment we need as opposed to what we want. Three, this is a shared sacrifice. The key word is shared. So let's open up all contracts for concessions and shared sacrifices. The financial burden cannot and should not be only on the taxpayers. You can't say you oppose tax increases but refuse to share the pain. Immediately move to close all underutilized schools and stop dumping millions of dollars into repairing them like we did with Tollgate and Pilgrim, only to end up closing them. I presented a plan to build one state-of-the-art high school at least 8 years ago when it was shot down. Building two schools was never a necessity based upon student population. Reduce staffing as it applies to these additional school closures. Six, reduce the 90 sick days teachers currently have to 10 and pay their temporary disability insurance. Let's eliminate excuses and do what financially makes sense. The school department needs to stop using this as a slush fund. Seven, eliminate the 5% increase cap that is in place for fire department healthcare premiums. Healthcare is projected to increase this year by approximately 18% from what I've been told. Currently, and using round numbers, the annual cost of a family plan is approximately $26,000. An 18% increase would be $4,680 per family. The current yearly copay for the firefighter is $5,200. It's 20%. The most we can increase this is 5%, which is $260. So that means the remaining will have to be borne by all the taxpayers, including seniors, veterans, and other retirees who have to pay the remainder of that amount. The most unsustainable cost to the taxpayers is our healthcare and legacy costs. This is what is bringing the city to the point of no return, even if some people refuse to recognize this. Suggestions from the past to current day. A, we need to increase the employee healthcare copay for all employees from 20% to a minimum of 25%. Increase the cap on prescription drugs, which is a huge portion of our expenses from a yearly employee's contribution. Increase that to $2,000 cap on prescription drugs for a single plan and $4,000 on a family plan. C, eliminate free lifetime health care for new hires. I stress new hires. And add a minimum copay of 10% on current retirees with a pension over $50,000 per year, or at a minimum, a 20% copay on all new hires when they retire. When I first proposed this back in 2018 or so, this would have saved the taxpayers over $4 million per year. Think about that. That's, to date, about $32 million. This isn't a short-term problem that is going to be eliminated with a Band-Aid approach or robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's going to take people who are ready and willing to stop postponing the inevitable, stop waiting for the next person to stop the bleeding and make the tough decisions now. I have been ready and remain ready to make that decision. And for those reasons, Mr. President, I will be voting no on this OPEB plan. Thank you for your indulgence.
All right, does anyone else have anything they wish to say? That I know we, as Councilman DeLuise correctly pointed out, we spent hours discussing this topic previously. It was just that Councilman Ladishek got left out somewhat last time because of timing. So this was his opportunity to state his piece. Does anyone else have anything? All right, so seeing that, Mayor, do you want to?
Just a couple of comments. We're not stealing from Peter, Paul, Mo, Larry, or Curly. This was money that was budgeted and has been all along to go into the municipal pension. We've reached the point where we no longer need to put it in there. The proper analogy is you just paid off your car payment. You were going to put it into a 401k, but you need a new roof. So you're not going to, you're going to use the money for the next 4 years to do that. I have a lot of other comments, but I'm going to hold them. We're just talking about this one particular thing. This is the most prudent course. I want to commend, again, I told him personally, Councilman Muto, because my biggest concern was replenishing the fund balance at the end of 4 years. And he made that amendment. It addresses both problems, all concerns. So this is just the way to go. We don't want to deplenish the fund balance over the next 4 years when we need it. We need to rely on it.
All right. Seeing no lights, clerk will please call the roll on the motion for favorable action. Wait, did we have? Oh, I apologize. I'm conflating it with the other one. In that case, we need a motion for us to be able to continue.
Move favorable action.
Second.
All right, motion made by Councilman Gephardt, seconded by Councilman Napa. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Gephardt?
Yes.
Lattisa?
No.
Mr. Muto? Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
No.
7-2, second passage.
All right, next is PCO 8-26, an ordinance establishing a real estate non-utilization tax. So this is the request. Well, I'm the sponsor. I requested it to be held till July 6th, so the solicitor has time to make this specific to commercial, as was the intent. Any objection to holding till July 6th? Seeing none, so held. Next is PCR 19-26, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to require annual presentations at public hearings before the City Council regarding city financial status and audit results. This is Councilman Gebhardt, Intergovernmental.
Yes, this went down, came to the floor with an unfavorable recommendation, not on the content. However, just on the mechanism of using a charter change, the recommendation from the committee was that this be redocketed as an ordinance and include everything, if not more than what was in the original resolution.
So for action, Councilman Gebhardt?
Move unfavorable. Okay. Second.
Somebody second. I didn't see. All right. Councilman Napa. All right. So discussion. Ideally, that wasn't had in committee already. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I will be voting yes on this item because I am not willing to sit here and speculate or assume that an ordinance will be coming down the road. So to do nothing and just sit and wait is not where I'm going. I don't necessarily agree that this is the best way to go, but that's what's on the table and that's what's before me now. So I'll be voting yes on this resolution. If and when a ordinance comes before us to reflect these same items, I'll vote yes on that too. Thank you.
So just so we're clear, yeah, you mean you're going to vote no on the unfavorable action because you want to vote yes on the underlying resolution, right?
Say again?
Right now before us is unfavorable action. So if you vote yes, you're voting to shoot it down.
Oh, thanks for that correction. So I'll be voting no.
All right.
Council President, point of order.
Yep.
Even though we have this before us tonight as a resolution, is there anything stopping anyone from this honorable body for docketing an ordinance tonight?
No, nothing.
Has the same language as a resolution, or do we have to get rid of the resolution, then docket an amendment? I mean, docket an ordinance.
So just order of operations, we can't docket anything until the docket session. But as far as, so the short answer is no, we can't docket it during this discussion. We can later tonight, though.
So to protect against an ordinance maybe never coming, we could just docket it tonight.
Correct.
Good. Check.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So we don't run into any OMA issues. I'm not asking anyone to comment on the ordinance. I'm just going to state that I've written up a docketing memo for an ordinance to the same effect. But we're not talking about an ordinance because that could get us into an Open Meetings Act violation, even if the substance is exactly the same as the item that is in front of us here this evening, because we all love the nuances of the Open Meetings Act. So on this particular point, for those reasons that I discussed in committee, I truly do think that, and the very reason why I introduced this as a change to the charter when first docketing this, that was not on a whim. I think it is very important for us to have this baked into the city charter, give the people of Warwick an opportunity to vote on this yay or nay, and basically allow the people of Warwick to have this permanently, or at least as permanently as can be, as a right that they have to receive this particular information at a public hearing, open to public comment, and otherwise broadcast in any way that we may hold or broadcast meetings in the future. I can certainly understand the concerns about willy-nilly bringing all sorts of things into the charter that could just as easily be in the Code of Ordinances. But I think that this is one of those rare items where a charter change is very much warranted. So I had my more detailed comments in committee and at the previous meeting. I'll leave it at that and hope that at least five agree. Thank you.
All right. So in addition to my previous comments, I have no reason to repeat them. I will note that unlike the, well, you know what? There's no more lights. I'll just let my prior comments stand with what they are. Clerk, will please call the roll on the motion for unfavorable action.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Irving?
Yes.
Mr. Laxa?
No.
Mr.
Buna? No.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr.
No.
All right, next we have PCO 20-26, a resolution of the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to provide for council advice and consent for Charter Article 8 mayoral appointments. Intergovernmental, it's Councilman Gebhardt.
Yes, the committee sent this with no recommendation to the floor. Right.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that, please?
I think. Solicitor, can we introduce the proposed amendment at this time?
Council President Sinapi is looking for someone to make a motion to amend the item before you in a manner that would delete all of the proposed changes and make the corresponding adjustments to the whereas's clauses, but to make one item be sent to the voters. And this would be adding a new 8-23, which would be about council advice and consent to boards and commissions. And the new language being inserted would say, notwithstanding any provisions of this charter to the contrary, except for the Board of Public Safety, the City Council may enact ordinances that subject mayoral appointments to the city boards and commissions. To the advice and consent of the City Council. So the changes would be that it and send a corresponding question to the voters that says, I'm sorry, we had to make this amendment from the discussion. Shall the City Council be authorized to enact ordinances that subject mayoral appointments to city boards and commissions, except for the Board of Public Safety, to the advice and consent of the City Council?
So before we can talk about that, someone actually has to move it, and then it has to be seconded. Is that a move, Finger? So Councilman Gephardt moves it. Do we have a second? Seconded by Councilman Muto. So discussion, bear in mind, it's worded that way to try to avoid the problem we're currently having, where we note it for some of the other potential charter changes, where if we just said, yeah, council gets advice and consent on everything but Board of Public Safety, but then years down the line, we're like, oh, wow, this was a problem. We've made an issue out of something that wasn't an issue. This gives us the flexibility of making those specifics via ordinance so we can change them as the need arises down the line, however it may or may not. And my request for the solicitor to draft this was based on the last meeting where it seemed, based on what I was hearing, and that the body was comfortable with that approach to this particular item. Granted, you all may do with it what you wish. And my understanding is that the administration was comfortable with that approach as well. But again, feel free to have backsies.
We're not familiar with that ordinance. I mean, that amendment.
So this was at the last meeting where you stated you were comfortable with having advice and consent on appointments for the council. This just codifies that the only change we did on the spot was to the exception for the Board of Public Safety, so that that didn't get taken away. So you'll keep that one, and the rest will be advice and consent.
So for everyone's edification, the concept is focusing on much of what we've been doing on prior updates to the charter to provide the council appropriate flexibility to step into this role, rather than always having to go back and revisit the charter change. So what this would enable is, if the language is adopted, it would allow for the council, with the exception of Board of Public Safety, we would, if approved by the assembly and by the voters, the council would have discretion to take up ordinance changes that established for specific matters which boards and commissions you would apply that to. The only exception from tonight's discussion was to separate the Board of Public Safety from that charter request. But it would allow for this body and, you know, in the future to be able to decide, other than the Board of Public Safety, which city boards and commissions it would be appropriate to subject mayoral appointments to the advice and consent of the council.
And I should be clear, I apologize if I wasn't trying to imply that administration or anyone else actually looked at the language of this, considering I only saw the language when I walked in today. So no one, it wasn't possible for someone to be comfortable with the language. This is all based on just statements made at the last meeting. I'm saying people seem to agree in concept based on the public meeting, but again, time has passed since then, so I fully understand if people have changed their mind or if now, after hearing the specifics, they're no longer fond of the concept. So, dealer's choice.
Yeah, I don't remember the specifics that was talked about, because there are a few that we'd have to talk about, like the personnel hearing board. That's so one exception. What, huh? Go ahead. I can't read you.
Personnel hearing board doesn't exist.
Correct. Anymore. So he's trying to trying to interpret my handwriting. I'm not exactly sure what sections of the ordinance you've removed, because there's a lot of whereases. Also, 8-19 additional boards talks about any created by executive order. Some boards and commissions or executive order groups ad hoc need to meet quickly, and to have those subjected to advice and consent of the council is contrary to their intent. Except in 8-20 additional departments, I'm not sure if 8-23 is still in. I don't know what you changed.
Thank you, Chief. The amendment cleans out a lot of the whereases to essentially only state a couple of facts. It removes references to departments and employees and focuses in on the first couple are just the general authorities of how the process works. And then it would go into, whereas some Article 8 mayoral appointments to the city boards and commissions require the advice and consent of the city council, including the board of canvasser members, zoning board of review members, and board of assessment review members. And whereas some of the Article 8 mayoral appointments to city boards and commissions do not require the advice and consent of the city council, including, and we would limit that down to the planning board and additional boards members. Those would be the types of references that would be cleaned up in the whereas clauses. All the other proposed changes to the specific items that are in the draft in front of you, all those items would be removed from making any changes. The only thing that would be inserted would be adding this language saying council advice and consent to boards and commissions, notwithstanding any provisions of this charter to the contrary, except for the Board of Public Safety, the City Council may enact ordinances that subject mayoral appointments to the city boards and commissions to the advice and consent of the City Council. So we would only be adding one sentence altogether.
So would that be advisory committees established by the mayor?
It would apply to boards and commissions.
So establish boards and commissions, not executive order advisory committees. The mayor wants to establish a blue ribbon task force to look at something.
I think the intent is to capture the boards and commissions codified in the Title 8 of the, or Article 8 of the charter, with additional those codified in the Code of Ordinances. I think we could certainly entertain language that further clarified that to only being those boards and commissions that are either established or codified in the charter or the Code of Ordinances. So that would separate out any advisory things that are not subject to being formally codified in the Code of Ordinances. Some of these are already in the charter. There are others that are created in the Code of Ordinances. That would be one potential way to clarify.
Right, but the advisory committees can be established by the mayor by executive order, and he's protected by the charter creating the advisory committees by executive order. at some future time, not this council, not the next council, but could change it by ordinance, requiring that any advisory committee, any executive order committee, requires advice and consent by ordinance.
If it's not codified in the code, I don't think it would be applicable. So that it wouldn't that power wouldn't extend that far unless it was formally put in to the code of ordinances. So I think there is a separation of powers buffer here.
Doesn't the amendment create or allow for the council to create additional requirements for advice and consent through ordinance other than Board of Public Safety?
The intent is to only capture city boards and commissions as proposed. As we could certainly qualify that further with boards and commissions codified in either the charter or the code of ordinances, that would not extend to any executive powers that exist independent of the council formally amending the code of ordinances. But that would require some language tweak, as just discussed.
All right, this has suddenly gotten very complicated. And as it stands, I'd have to oppose this until I talk to my solicitor and see what the ramifications would be. It's not something I want to rush into. I mean, I thought we were talking last meeting about established boards like planning department, any of the ones that you don't have voice and consent on. This goes far beyond that. I mean, we do boards all the time. We have a recreation board to do events, things like that. It's just very confusing right now.
That wouldn't fall under this though, right? Because that's...
It could. We just discussed the door is open for an ordinance. They can change it.
So basically, we would need to make it clear that it doesn't apply to the ones enacted by executive action.
We could certainly update the amendment such that it is being more specific or limited only to those boards and commissions codified in the code of in the charter or in the code of ordinances. And we could also put other clarifying language that this shall not apply to executive advisory boards, committees, etc.
Yeah, and I apologize that none of us have the language for us. Even I don't, in fact. So it makes this somewhat more complicated. And it's just the nature of these proposed charter changes. The timing somewhat constrains our normal process. I mean, I certainly don't have an objection to making it clear that it's not supposed to apply to the ad hoc ones, because it wasn't the point was not to capture those. But all right, so we got lights, Councilman Lattiser. I saw yours before, and then we'll do Councilman Ricks's.
So we have, I don't know, it's a little over 200 line items in this particular PCR, and I can tell you for sure, I'm not clear as to what line items we're eliminating, what's being included. What I do know is, as you heard me say at the last meeting, I'm never afraid to say that people present things in a different spin and change my mind. And Mayor Bocozzi did that at the last meeting when he started to speak about the city council having advice and consent or control over his staff. I don't think that would be a good move. I think that whether it's this mayor or mayors in the future, I think they should have that authority to select and choose their own department heads, their own chief of staff, etc. So I'm not sure if everything that is being eliminated out of this takes that out, and all we have is just these boards and commissions, excluding the Board of Public Safety?
That's correct, Councilman Lazo.
So it takes all the spin that I happen to agree with in this case would be out.
Correct. So it only does the boards and commissions. It leaves out of the PCR. It's proposed to remove from PCR 20-26 all the parts about the employees over $100,000 and department heads. That would all come out.
So the advice and consent would come from or come to us regarding boards and commissions, excluding Board of Public Safety?
Correct.
And what is the reason for excluding the Board of Public Safety?
So that only arose tonight. The mayor had pointed out why the Board of Public Safety being included would be a problem. So I defer to his explanation. I don't want to wrongly paraphrase it.
Mayor, could you repeat that, please? Absolutely. I didn't catch that.
The Board of Public Safety is different. The Planning Board, the Zoning Board, they're like a different branch of government. The Board of Public Safety can actually make policies for the fire department and the police department, the departments that I run. Well, they're under me. So it's a different kind of relationship there. The Planning Department can't do anything about the way the city operates, the way personnel operates. The Board of Public Safety can. That's why I'd like them to be exclusive of the rest of the boards. I don't even really know why we have a Board of Public Safety. They I think they were put in place of a police and fire commission, public safety commissioner back in the day. But it's a really weird situation and balance. It's something the mayor has to work very closely with them on, as well as the fire and police chief.
I understand the mayor's reasoning for it.
Do you have any further questions?
No, that was my comments.
All right, Councilman Ricks.
Yeah, so I have no objections to this as a baseline. Actually, it might all make all of our jobs more difficult because, for instance, then we're creating for ourselves the same set of conflicts and OMA issues that we currently have for the zoning board, also with the planning board. But I do think that there should be legislative oversight as to planning board appointees, as well as the other boards and commissions. And carving out the Board of Public Safety for the reasons that the mayor said, that's fine by me. There are certainly more complicated ways to solve this, but I know that we don't have an appetite for complicated methods. My more complicated method, by the way, would involve creating this city council as an upper chamber and creating a lower city council chamber such that we could appoint members of the lower chamber who could then exercise legislative authority over boards and commission appointees, thereby allowing there to be legislative oversight without creating a whole mess of conflicts of interest for ourselves. But that's complicated, so let's not think about that. Yep, I'll save the complicated stuff that we can actually consider for later. So I think it's fine for us to get this amendment on get a vote on that so that we can make any other additional amendments to that base, but actually have that base in front of us. Thank you.
So I don't want to rush the solicitor, but at the same time.
Per the discussion, if Councilman Gephardt and Ricks would like this updated amendment put in front of you without objection, the language would be to add 8-23, so delete the prior code changes, and it would be establishing a new section of the charter, 8-23, council advice and consent to boards and commissions, which would read, notwithstanding any provisions of this charter to the contrary, except for the Board of Public Safety, the City Council may enact ordinances that subject mayoral appointments to city boards and commissions specifically codified in the charter or the code of ordinances to the advice and consent of the City Council. Be it further resolved that a question appearing on the 2026 general election ballot shall read as follows. Shall the City Council be authorized to enact ordinances that subject mayoral appointments to city boards and commissions specifically codified in the Charter or the Code of Ordinances, except for the Board of Public Safety, to the advice and consent of the City Council? Approve or disapprove? And then we would address the whereas's clauses to only be pertinent to the question being presented.
Not sure anymore.
Removing references to the department directors and all the things that were previously in place, and adjusting the title of the resolution as well.
Can I just ask one question? You mentioned that that was a new section 8-23. What happened to the 8-20, 8-19? Those stay the same, or?
We would not be touching those, so they disappear from the resolution itself. There would be no proposed change to those items, so it wouldn't appear. All it is saying, should we add this new section to the charter?
Could you just repeat that amendment?
I think he's coming your way.
I got really concerned about the upper and the lower council comment.
So the only item that would appear in the now before it resolved clause would be the addition of new language 8-23 that reads council advice consent to the boards and commissions, notwithstanding any provisions of this charter to the contrary, except for the Board of Public Safety, the City Council may enact ordinances that subject mayoral appointments to city boards and commissions specifically codified in the charter or the code of ordinances to the advice and consent of the City Council. Unless it is present in the charter today or specifically enacted as a board in the code of ordinances, it would not cover any other advisory board or any other board that is not codified as a board within the charter. A board that is subsequently enacted under ordinance authority, but that is not put into the formalized structure, would not be applicable.
That simplified it. I'm still thinking about the lower council too.
I just keep picturing a tiered room.
And Councilman Lattice are agreeing with me.
Question for the council's solicitor. I'm just concerned about the notwithstanding language, because if then we don't make any change to the end of that first sentence of 8-12 planning board, that could create some ambiguity as to the planning board in particular. So I think maybe the neatest, cleanest way to do it is add the proposed section 8-23, but also add that one clause to the end of the first sentence of 8-12, so that that first sentence under 8-12 reads, there shall be a planning board composed of 9 members of the public who shall be appointed by the mayor with the advice and consent of the City Council. Because otherwise the two may contradict.
At that point, you'd have to change all of them though.
Yeah.
As opposed to just relying on the catch-all one that says notwithstanding. Because notwithstanding is not ambiguous, because it's a standard insertion into contracts.
The use of the notwithstanding clause is specifically to make clear that where the board is comprised a certain way, we don't have to go back and then change every single board under this charter or other boards under the ordinances. This gives the clear authority that says, well, it may have been omitted in some other place or limited because it wasn't specifically empowered to do something. This specific notwithstanding makes clear that this trumps any other competing provision of the charter or the code of ordinances. So it's intended to make clear that this authority is being specifically granted in places that it is either omitted or not currently provided, or otherwise if it's prohibited. But I don't believe that's the case in this instance.
If that's the canon statutory interpretation, that's fine by me. Thank you.
All right, so first we need to amend the amendment, or? All right, so is there any objection for the amendment pending before us to be as stated by the solicitor? All right, so seeing none, that's the amendment before us. So any further discussion on the proposed amendment?
Motion to move favorable action as amended. Oh, on the amendment?
So we already have a motion for favorable action. All right, so yeah, no more lights on. So clerk will please call the roll on the proposed amendment.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa? Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
All right, now it stands before us as amended. Do we have a motion? Councilman Ricks.
Yeah, so I would like to see if, well, for discussion, since try to do this properly under the procedure, for discussion, I would offer an amendment that any person appointed by the mayor who is an unclassified employee with a salary at least double that of the mayor is subject to advice and consent of the council. Unclassified meaning not a union member.
So is there a second regarding the proposed amendment? Seconded by Councilman Lattisa. All right, so, and double the mayor's salary. So right now that means it would be 200,000, but then obviously if it changed, if the salary changed, so too would the limit. That's your intent?
Yes, and for that matter, I'd also want to make it clear that the proposed amendment would not affect any department heads named in the charter, nor would it affect the mayor's chief of staff. This is simply a matter of trying to come up with a rational number here that practically should never affect anyone, should not affect any future mayor appointing anyone to anything, but avoids the nightmare scenario that I occasionally have of something similar to what happened back in 2017 when I was here, where we had a mayor who was setting salaries of employees at double-digit raises despite specific amendments by the city council to cap raises at single-digit raises. And so then the thought occurred to me way back when, and has occurred to me over time, there's literally nothing in the charter preventing a future mayor. I know that our current mayor, he would never do this, of course. This is why it's in the charter. It's to prevent an issue from possibly happening in the future. The notion of the city council having zero oversight over an individual getting appointed unilaterally and having a salary set at an astronomical rate, and this city council having no ability whatsoever to do a single thing about it. But I think that double the mayor's salary is pretty substantial. Nobody falls under that currently. So certainly no mayoral management appointments. And to be clear, the amendment would also carve out any department heads that are referred to under the charter. So even then, that shouldn't be an issue with any hiring scenario. That's all.
So, Mayor?
I don't know. This one is kind of coming from out of left field. I don't know what the intent is. It's the same argument. If people have to come for a public hearing, they're not going to come seeking the job. I can't think of any job that would be double my salary, maybe in 5 years. Unless we really needed to hire a specialty person, if we ever wanted to make a solicitor in-house, something like that. But same argument as the other ones. The hires have to be done by the mayor, by the administration. No one's going to come if they know they don't have the job till they come here, because they're tipping off their current employer. I mean, I know if I knew of a department director looking for another job, I would get rid of that director, because I wouldn't want it to, you know, I wouldn't want it to Pearl Harbor me. In fact, I've done it once. So I think what we passed was the right thing to do, and I don't think this is necessary.
Councilman Napa?
I'll defer to Councilman Rick so he can respond.
You defer to what? I'm sorry.
I'll withdraw that proposed amendment to the sub A, and I'll continue to work on refining this idea to try to give some protection and some level of oversight, while also addressing the points of concern that the mayor has raised. So I'll withdraw. Thank you.
All righty. So we're back on the item as amended. So Councilman Lattice, that's what you want to speak on?
Actually, I was just going to make a point on Councilman Rick's amendment, but seeing as he would...
All right, Councilman Gephardt.
I'd like to move favorable action on the amendment.
So favorable as amended, motion made by Councilman Gephardt. Is there any second for the motion? Seconded by Councilman Napa. Is there any further discussion on the amended PCR 20-26? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise? Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattice?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, favorable as amended.
All right, next is PCR 21-26, a resolution of the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to expand the membership of and alter the election districts of the Warwick School Committee. Intergovernmental, so Councilman Gephardt.
There was discussion of holding this, but we ended up putting it to the floor with no recommendation.
All right. So first, we need a motion in any direction, or I guess hold. So I guess it's not a direction, but we need a motion. So if we're going to discuss. Move to hold, you said?
Move to hold to June 1st.
All right. Do we have a second on the
second?
Second of my Councilman Napa. Any discussion on the motion to hold? Councilman Lattice.
President, so initially I was with this item. After considering a lot of discussion and comments from members of the public and even revisiting some of the suggestions, perhaps three and three might work. Things I brought before the council years ago. Three elected, two appointed by the mayor, two appointed by the city council, and fast forward to where we are now with nine. To be honest with you, I'm not sure which one of all these suggestions is the best. What I do know, or what I believe, is that what we currently have, which is five members, is not the best. And in my opinion, it definitely needs to get changed. So I would have to go with supporting a hold on this. I know it
kicks the can down the road another 2 years. It's frustrating because this is something I started talking about, I think, probably my first term. So, yeah, it is frustrating. But to do something because it might be the right thing or might not, I'm not going to be able to do that. So I think, given what we have, that probably the best avenue is to hold, form a study commission, and, well, if you really want to do this, maybe with the upper chamber and lower chamber, we can call for a special election and not have to wait 2 years. But at this point in time, I would support that hold. Thank you.
Yeah, for what it's worth, just in my own efforts, asking around to various members of the public or other officials outside the council, the general consensus appeared to be that five is too low. However, then after that, any subsequent questions, the consensus, there was no consensus, it was all over the map. I know my own thoughts, I wanted to, my desire was to make it so that there's probably two appointed people, either both from the mayor or one from council, one from the mayor, because I'm tired of the whole, well, the school committee said that, and they're on that side, and we're on this side. It's just, it's tiresome, and while I don't agree with that approach, I know that if there was someone appointed on there, that approach doesn't really hold water anymore, because now the person appointed can be like, well, no, what they're saying is accurate, so there's no reason to doubt them anymore, or at least no reason for others to doubt them anymore. But that being said, there's flaws with even that suggestion, too, as I pointed out the last meeting. So I think Councilman Lasser has the right of it when he says that it's really not clear what the best way is to proceed. And to proceed just for the sake of proceeding is ill-advised, considering the scope of this change, as in part pointed out by a member of the public earlier. Councilman Gephardt?
I think you said everything that was on my mind, just that this feels very premature and definitely open to exploring the various options to make our school committee the best that it can be. But we don't want to rush into that and cause unintended consequences. So thank you.
I will say the good news about holding it as opposed to withdrawing it, it's not going away. So one way or another, we'll have to take action on it eventually, regardless of what that action might be. Councilman Napa?
Thank you, Council President. Just echoing what you and my colleagues, the rest of the other colleagues have said, I just don't feel as though we should be sending something half-baked up to the state, especially something with as much gravity as this will have. So I think that, you know, digging deeper, possibly forming commission or whatever the next appropriate step may be, then it would be on this body or members of this body who want to push this forward to stay diligent and push it forward. And though it is unfortunate that maybe this does push it out 2 years, but then again, this that would be the responsibility of this body to make sure that we push through over the next 2 years in an appropriate timeline, something that is well refined, well researched, well propped up to send up, that's articulate, that makes sense and functions in a way that all sides can at least be happy that we did some due diligence on it. So I'm supporting the hold only because I think this requires extra work. I am supportive of making some change, but I think a hold makes sense.
I will point out the solicitor has suggested that June 1st might be a bit short time-wise, considering all of us who have spoken so far have all referenced a study or commission or some clear amount of reflection / deliberation and research. And given the particular month that we're in, budget month, June 1st might be a bit idealistic, might be a word for it, might be a gentle word for it. But I'm not going to say I'm hell-bent on one way or another, just wanted to share what was shared with me. Councilman Gephardt?
I forgot to mention 2027, June 1st, 2027.
Is the, well, touche, because we didn't ask the year. Whoever seconded, do you still second that? Just to make sure you're still on board.
I just said
June 1st, 2027.
Angry light. All right. Well, so I'll make sure I got new people. Councilman Muto.
I just want to say thank you for Councilman Ricks for bringing several items to light to this council. It started a good debate. I think you know, more study is needed, but we've had some great discussions to forward you know, better process procedures in institutions for our city. So I want to thank you for that, and also agree that more work to be done to get it right. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks, I don't think you've spoken on the motion to hold yet, right?
I don't believe so.
All right, so Councilman Ricks then.
So, I'm just going to point out that every single time that a charter amendment has gone up to the General Assembly from the City Council in the last 10 years, all of the years I've been on the council, it's always come directly from the council, not a matter of the council acting on a request and a draft that was prepared by a commission. We have had multiple commissions that have attempted to study various issues and dedicated untold numbers of hours across so many meetings, with a result that goes absolutely nowhere. And I'm always conscientious when I'm filling out my ethics statement that I am a member of the Warwick City Charter Review Commission, which has not actually met in years, was formed before I became a member of this city council. And one would have thought that the home rule question would be one of the simplest of all. And by the way, if we did have a home rule charter, that would actually make it far easier for us to do any other type of amendment, because then virtually none of them would actually have to be on the General Assembly's timeline of only going to the General Assembly while they are not only in session, but at the times that are convenient for them while they are in session. But a commission that was created before I even got here 10 years ago still hasn't actually acted and sent a final recommendation to the full city council. Various commissions have sent recommendations to the full council. That hasn't made its way onto the ballot either. So if we want to find a way to make sure that there will absolutely, positively never be any changes whatsoever to the structure of the school committee, thumbs up to a charter review commission to study that, wink, wink. I don't know how else to put it. A commission is where ideas go to die. So if we're going to act on an idea, we should act on it as a city council. We are fully capable of having hearings, and we have sent multiple resolutions requesting charter changes up to the General Assembly in recent years. This is how it's actually gotten done in practice. The ratio is 100-0, or the percentage is 100% and 0% when it comes to comparing those two methods. So, like the council president was saying as to the different ideas for a composition here, I think that if we went around this room, the nine of us would have at least 10 different ideas on good ways that this school committee could be organized, all 10 of which, or more than 10, would be better than the current structure. So what I'm also saying is that while we always have a goal with such important things of building a consensus, it is almost impossible to build a consensus on this
just as it is impossible for everybody to be looking at a nice piece of real estate and having the same exact vision for what would be the perfect thing to do with that piece of real estate. It's not going to happen because everyone has different ideas and there will be no consensus. I think that what there is nearly a consensus on is the idea that the current structure simply does not make sense and it should be replaced. So we have an opportunity tonight to go ahead and put something in front of the voters to consider changing it to. And by the way, reason I said that you go around the room, 9 people, 10 different ideas, part of that is because I am 100% perfectly fine with having it structured as a 7-member committee, one from each of 7 different districts, or going along with the what was initially drafted, being keep the 3 districts and elect top 3 from each. I think either one of those is far superior to the current system. But I also understand that the 7-member districts, that there would be some costs and potential obstacles in redistricting. So it seems that most people are inclined to hold this, but if what I've said may change any minds as to let's put something out there and keep that conversation going, bring it to the voters, and if the voters really think that there are much better ways to do it, they can vote it down. And that might actually spur the public to have that input, have all of those conversations to come up with as close to consensus as we can, that unicorn, that mythical beast of trying to build a consensus where it's impossible to actually build a consensus. So I'll leave it at that. And if we can't get it done this time around, we can always try next year. And then when we inevitably get to the very same result, we can just live with the current system as it is forever and just complain about it. That's all. Thank you.
So as the member of the public who spoke on one of the prior charter changes noted, I would just repeat what his words were, which was that we're elected because the public is putting their faith in us that we'll put forward legitimate, well-thought-out ideas that are in their best interests. And as most of us have pointed out tonight, I think actually so far everyone who has spoken, it's not clear to any of us what the best path forward is on this, even regarding our own individual ideas for some of us, as we pointed out. So I don't think it's a great idea to basically do trial and error with the charter and with voters. That's kind of the definition of what not to do with the charter, not to mention it with the stewardship we have over the voters and trying to make decisions with their best interests in mind, and doing so without the information and data needed is an objectively bad idea. I will say this is different currently than the last time I recall the Charter Review Commission. I don't recall there being an item docketed that's going to stay on our docket unless and until we address it. And two, perhaps more importantly, this is a much more narrow in scope scenario, whereas prior ones were they had a bunch of questions before them and it got muddied real quick, as opposed to just one singular question. And one that, as we all have noted so far, there's at least one avenue that everyone agrees on. Granted, it sounds like people disagree on, what about the structure doesn't work, but I feel like everyone's clear that they'd prefer it different than the current. My own stance being, I think more than five would be more appropriate given the amount of the budget that they're responsible for. It just seems unfair to tack on the burden that they have with only five people. But that's my own thought. Councilman DeLuise.
Thank you. We have a motion before us to hold this, correct?
Correct, Councilman.
Do we have a definite date? Is it June 1st?
So that was the original date proposed. It would have, someone would have to request to change that if we were going to do a different one. The solicitor has suggested September, given that we'd be addressing this right before the General Assembly got back into session. It wouldn't be rushed. It'd be after the budgets, and we'd have time to deal with any backlog post-budgets too. But, I mean, it's up to the body to decide if they're comfortable with that.
Mr. President, just for my own edification, I would like to have more information, and I would urge other council members possibly to speak with department heads, I want to get better educated myself, maybe speaking with the, teachers union, school department officials, the mayor. I don't feel as though I can make an educated decision tonight if we had to vote on it. So I think more time for me personally would be greatly appreciated.
Understood. Councilman Gebhardt.
I would just say, I think there's two extremes on what to do next with this. Like, for me, foregone that we're not going to act on it tonight. One extreme, it could be, the establishment of a new commission that now has to have meetings and call people together. I think the last thing any of us need is another meeting on another day to talk about something like this. But what we do need is some kind of forum that we can continue to discuss this. And what we have been doing with a lot of these items that we know we want to workshop or change is to move them to the floor. But I think what everyone has said so far is, like, we don't have the answers to be able to modify this on the floor. What we need is more input from the various constituent groups to tell us what would maybe be a good idea, or what might be, what's a bad idea, or why, and to just kind of hear it out. And so we don't do this a lot, in where we keep an item in committee and have periodic comment on it, because we're kind of moving things through the process out to vote. But maybe we could treat this item a little bit differently. Originally in my head, I was like, oh, well, maybe we could have a separate committee of the council that kind of worked on this. But I don't know that we necessarily need a new committee. We just need sort of a standing item, even if it was docketed as, for discussion purposes only, that didn't imply that we were going to try to take a vote on the item at the end of the discussion, but that just said, hey, we would really like to convene people who know how other school committees are comprised, people who have strong feelings one way or another, who could come. We could give them a date and time to provide testimony, but without creating this furor around, that we're going to make a snap decision on that night. That might get the best out of people, and give us, a good body of testimony to work from, to then maybe at that point, after we have one or two of those hearings, to then come back and say, okay, now to Councilman Ricks's point, let's put something on paper. It may not be perfect, but it's based upon some research that we've sort of all had the, because we can all go away in OMA violation. We don't want to talk about it. We can all go do our own research, but when do we actually hear about it, right? We need a public setting in order to talk about this. But the nine of us talking once everyone in the room has left, I don't think is that setting, right? It's something earlier in the evening in committee with the public here, properly noticed, where we can hear from people. So that's just my two cents. It's a little bit different from how we treat most of the business in front of us, but I think it might get us to a better outcome. That's it.
It certainly would help address Councilman Ricks's point about it going to come to a commission and die. It would definitely hinder that in a good way. Councilman Muto?
Briefly, I think it's a great idea, and I would support that process going through. Does it die in committee, but we can talk about it and educate ourselves. So thank you very much.
Councilman Napa?
Can we do that August 17th so that we can start the discussion prior to state going back into session?
So, Solicitor had mentioned September. Do you still feel like that's the best route based on what you've heard? That's right. You're part of this now.
September struck me as a good time, but I defer to all of you.
Yeah, I like September just because
that gives us a full calendar quarter to workshop something before the legislature reconvenes.
I'm not a huge fan of trying to go through this unique process just in the summer and only the summer. Just because I want people to actually like show up and talk about it, because it sounds like it could be valuable and useful, and I don't want really our first run at it to not get the traction it should just because of timing of all things. But I'm more than open to talking about it. Councilman Lattiser, I saw the light go on. Maybe?
My mic. Personally, I would think that would be more appropriate. Bear in mind, we have one meeting in July. We have one meeting in August. You know we're going to be swamped. We're going to get hit pretty heavy, I would think, in July and August. September, true, we only have one meeting, but I think it would probably be more appropriate for that to take place in September.
It could be your own back-to-school session.
There you go.
That actually,
or it could be like that song, See You in September.
It is a good point, because having it right around the time school starts, you're definitely more likely to get, if you didn't have participation yet, you're bound to get it then. And I should point out too, worst case scenario, if we get to September and we're all sitting there like, man, I wish we talked about it more, we have the option. It's not like we're locked in and like we got to make a snap judgment then. But at least this gives us some sort of time frame to work with, so we're not just left in limbo. Because I agree that I don't want it to just linger and die. It is something that has been stated for a long, long time as being ripe for change, and just it hasn't gotten done for one reason or another.
Motion to place in committee for discussion on September 14th.
Second.
So is there any objection? Because per the solicitor, we can do it by unanimous consent as long as everyone agrees.
Everybody agrees.
All right, it appears to be unanimous. Yeah. So if you didn't hear, UC held till September 14th for an informational hearing. And it'll also give us time to prod interested parties too, who know already that we're talking about this and thinking about it, and that's part of the good news with having had this tonight, because people have been reaching out saying, hey, we want to talk about that, or we want our opinions heard. So all right, I guess so held then, right? At that point, if it's by UC, all right. Yeah. No objections, so held till September 14th for the informational hearing. All right, so then this one's done. Resolution relative to the claim for I still can't pronounce it, I'm sorry. Councilman Muto, save me.
Uh, the claim. So motion to reject the claim.
So for action, is that a motion for favorable action to deny the appeal?
Yes.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser, and it's Mr. Contreras. I can't do it.
Yep.
C-O-N-T-R-E-R-A-S. That's how you spell it, if anyone's wondering. All right, so right now before us is a motion for favorable action to deny the claim. Is there any discussion on this? I already said my piece at the last meeting. I don't feel any need to regurgitate it. Anyone else? All right, seeing none, the clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes to deny.
All right, next is PCR 50-26, 2027-001B, fire apparatus repairs. This is Finance, Councilman Lattiser.
Finance Committee recommended favorable action on PCR 50-26.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Commission recommends favorable action on PCR 50-26.
You mean you move favorable action?
Yes.
And that's seconded by Councilman Muto. Is there any discussion on this, rather? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
And yes, motion passes.
All right. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? Seconded by Councilman DeLuise, Councilman Napa, Councilman Lattiser. All in favor?
Aye.
All against? Any abstentions? Seeing none. In the docket session, Ward 1.
A resolution in regards to erecting a stop sign on both sides of Miano Notomo Drive.
There is a traffic study.
Ward 2.
Yes, three items. So first, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter, Article 5, Budget, relative to City Council powers to determine amounts of raises of city employees not subject to collective bargaining agreements. I'll just add that that is a tentative title subject to change.
So intergovernmental.
Thank you. Next one is an ordinance requiring annual presentations at public hearings before the City Council regarding city financial status, a five-year forecast, and audit results. This is basically the same content as the previous resolution, now in ordinance form.
Ordinance.
And lastly, number three, an ordinance amending 60-500 of the Code of Ordinances to restore funding to OPEB Trust consistent with actuarial recommendations upon the state reimbursement on school construction debt service.
Finance.
Ward 3. Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5. It's somewhere.
Pass.
Passes. Ward 6. Ward 7.
Pass.
Ward 9.
Pass.
And then I have one for Ward 8. Resolution in regards to Whedon claim.
Public safety. See you in a week.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I didn't hear what you said. A resolution. For what?
In regards to Whedon claim, the person's last name is Whedon.
Oh, okay.
I'm just docketing on because they're appealing. So that makes more sense. All right. So City Council adjourns at 10:33 p.m.
high hope. Did you just knock?